Amen, Brother Deacon. Are you muted? Okay.
Hello. You got me?
Okay. There we go. There you go.
Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah, I was, man. I'm just talking away. Good morning, everybody. How are you? I had my mic on mute for a minute. My kid was talking to me. That's sad. But my name is Charles Tate. And basically known as Deacon Charles Tate, a runner for Christ Ministry. And this morning we're moving into, we're going to finish up 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Before we do that, though, of course, it's Father's Day, and I got to give a shout out to my brothers in Christ and my buddies, all the fathers, Pastor O, Richard, John, Mackie, Eric, Oliver, my sons, Tony and Marcus, Tyrone, Paris, and, of course, my favorite nephew, Jonathan, and my nephew, Jeremy. Happy Father's Day to you guys. I know y'all been holding it down. And I'm going to send a special Father's Day message out to Madam President, because she's been holding it down as long as I've known her, being Mama and Daddy. But anyway, right now, we're going to move into 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And before we do that, of course, we have to acknowledge our Father. So let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we thank you for this day that you've made. I love it when Kathy says all the time, this is the day that you've made. We will rejoice and be glad at it. Father, as we look into your word this morning, I ask that you open up our ears, our hearts, and our mouths and our minds to receive what it is that you have to say to us, Father. I'm only going to do what you tell me to do, Father. And I'm going to be honest with you. What you tell me to do is carry me all this life, and I'm so grateful for it, Father. But, Father, what I ask is that you just move me out of the way and let it be the way that you say it to be. And once again, Father, we to all the fathers out there today and all the fathers that have stepped in to be fathers when fathers weren't there, and to all the mothers that have had to do double duty as fathers, Lord, just continue to bless them, give them the strength, and make it be that they come to you, that they turn to you, that we all know that you are our source. You're the source of all resources, but you supply each and every one of our needs, and you're the ultimate Father because you gave us your Son, just so we might be able to spend eternity with you. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen. Okay. We are in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And we're going to pick it up at verse 5. Verse 5 reads as follows. When we arrived in Macedonia, there was no rest for us. We faced conflict from every direction, with battles on the outside and fear on the inside. Now, we know the writer of this book is Paul. And we know that back in, if you don't, I'm going to just let you know that back in the early, when Paul was writing this, this is the beginning of the Christian church. And in this letter, he's writing to people where in Corinth, where he had went and established a church. And in the meantime, after he left, somebody had crept in, had came in, and they had started to do what usually happens when you think you're pretty sure of something, and then somebody else comes in and gives you well maybe. They had started to lean toward that well maybe. Don't know who this guy was or who this people was, but they had came in and they just completely threw, not necessarily thrown the people completely off of their page, but it's one of them moments where the people had started to say, well, that sounds good too. Now, we all know that what sounds good and what looks good is always not good for us. So Paul had written them again. And like it says, when Paul said he faced conflict from every direction with battles on the outside and fear on the inside, one of his greatest fears was that what would happen after he left people, just like it was going on in Corinth, was happening. So what he did was he was really calling them back to what they know. When it talked about in verse 6, but God who encourages those who are discouraged But God, who encourages those who are discouraged, encourages us by the arrival of Titus. What had happened was that Paul had sent another letter back by Titus, and Titus had taken the letter back. And after the people read the letter, then they remembered. The light came back on. Wait a minute. This is how it's really supposed to be. This is how we're supposed to be doing it. And they came to the realization that they had messed up. Well, we're messing up. I got to talk like I know. We're messing up. So we got to get this right. You know, we got to straighten the ship out, and we got to get back right on course. And Paul goes on to write in verse 7 when it says his presence, talking about Titus, his presence was a joy, but so was the news he brought of the encouragement he received from you when he told us how much you long to see me and how sorry you are for what happened and how loyal you are to me. I was filled with joy. You know, it's important sometimes that when we've established something, I'm going to just put it like this, even when you've led somebody to Christ, it's always good to go check on them. As believers, it's always good to check on each other because we never know what's going on in our lives. You never know what's going on in another individual's life. So it's always good, just like we've been out of church because of the pandemic. But every once in a while, and I've been guilty of not calling everybody, but every once in a while I pick up the phone just to see how another person is doing. And I've had people call me to see how I'm doing. And that's encouraging. That's encouraging. It's good to know, believer, when you've led somebody else to Christ, and even in your Christian walk, that every once in a while you just take time just to see how another person is doing. And especially if they're young in the faith, because the believers in Corinth were young in the faith. Like I said, this was an early Christian church. They didn't have the Bible like we have the Bible today. All they really had was what Paul had taught them and the letters that he was writing to them. You know, the Jews dealt with the Torah. And I think those were the first 5 books of the Bible. And Christianity was new. So it was important to Paul that he established a relationship with them, and not just established a relationship with them, but that he nurtured this relationship. Okay, we got to move on. Verse 8, I am not sorry that I sent that severe letter to you, though I was sorry at first, for I know it was painful to you for a little while. Now I'm glad, verse 9 says, now I'm glad I sent it because it hurt you. Not because it hurt you, but because the pain caused you to repent and change your ways. See, Paul, the feeling I get from Paul was a man that didn't mix words. Okay, and we've all encountered those kind of people. But it's important. I'm going to just say it out loud. My sister Minister Janice Tate, my sister Janice doesn't mix words. She'll give you the cut and dry, and she really will. It was something that used to bother me, and it really did. But then I came to realize, that's just how God led it to be. And the other side was that, the other thing is that, just like when I read about Paul, when he was really glad to hear that these people had accepted his word and was doing it right. But that let me know that at the same time, he was feeling bad that he had to, just like he wrote here. He said, I'm not sorry I sent the severe letter to you, though I was sorry at first. You know, like talking about my sister Janice, it helped me to come to understand that a lot of things don't come easy. And sometimes, you know, you say something about somebody, and you know the old expression, it's going to hurt me more than it hurts you. Well, that's a reality. It really is. Sometimes it hurts to go ahead and be, just like with our children, sometimes it hurts to go ahead and be straightforward and tell them what's right. But there's only two ways to go. It's only a right way and a wrong way. And later on, we're going to read real quick. It's a right way and a wrong way. And with God, it's the same way. God, wrong is wrong, and right is right. And God doesn't straddle the fence. I got a song I listen to by a guy like the Creator say, you can't be on both sides of the fence. Okay, you got to either be here or there. So when Paul wrote this letter to them, and he said, I was sorry at first, for I know it was painful to you for a little while. Then he says, and now I'm glad I sent it, not because it hurt you, but because the pain caused you to repent and change your ways. We're in verse 9 now. It was the kind of sorrow God wants his people to have, so you were not harmed by us in any way. We're going to go on to verse 10 with this. For the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow, but worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. For the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow, but worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. You know, when I read this, two people came to mind. One of them was Peter, and the other one was Judas. Judas, we all know, sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Peter, we know, denied Christ twice. They both walked with Christ for 3 years. But it was a difference, see. It was a difference. Judas, when it came down that he found out what he had did, he went out and hung himself. Judas was sorry. His sorrow led to the fact that he said to himself, he was sorry he got caught. As simple as that. His sorrow led to the fact, and see, that's worldly sorrow. I got caught, so I feel bad. But on the other hand, here's what I'm going to do. I mean, I'm going to say this again. I know Judas gone. I ain't talking about my guy. But at the same time, I'm going to say this. If Judas had the opportunity to do it again, he would have did it again. And see, that's what worldly sorrow does for you. Worldly sorrow tells you this time I'm going to do wrong the right way. If that makes any sense at all. This time I'm going to do wrong the right way. You know, it's a lot of people that do wrong that have to pay the penalty for doing wrong, but while they sit there, they say, well, the next time I do it, I'm going to make sure I get it right. Now, Peter, on the other hand, denied Christ 3 times. But Peter's sorrow led to repentance. Because we all, if you don't know the story, when Peter was accused of this on the 3rd time of denying Christ, he went out and wept bitterly, and he did. He knew what he did was wrong. But when Jesus came down off that cross and rose out that grave, he told his disciples to go and get Peter. See, Peter separated himself from everybody else because he knew he did wrong. But it led to repentance because Peter spent the rest of his days doing nothing but what God had called him to do, utter repentance. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But at the same time, Lord, I'm not going to do this anymore. It's never going to happen again. And see, that's what it says when it talks about God wants us to experience is a sound that leads us away from sin and results in salvation. John 1:9 tells us stop John 1:9 for right now. When I stop and think about it, the fact I think it was Peter wrote about repentance. Repent John the Baptist, that was his message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Peter himself wrote about repentance in Acts. And Jesus himself talked about repentance. And repentance, genuine repentance, when it talks about lead to salvation, you turn away from what was. And you go directly toward what's supposed to be. It takes you to that place that you're supposed to be. And part about it is that when you turn away from what was, lifestyle, whatever it is that you did, God doesn't hold that against you. He, like he says, his sins are as far from the east and the west. I listened to a song by Helen Bader where it says he throws it in the sea of forgiveness. He doesn't hold that against you. But once again, if you just got that worldly sorrow, like I said earlier, you're going to turn around and do it again, and you're going to think it ain't nothing wrong with it, but you're going to find yourself right back in the same place that you were before. Okay, let's move on. Just see, verse 11, just see what the godly sorrow produced in you, such earnestness, such concern to clear yourself, such indignation, such alarm, such longing to see me, such zeal, and such a readiness to punish wrong. You show that you have done everything necessary to make things right. Paul writes, my purpose then was not to write about who did the wrong or who was wrong. I wrote to you so that in the sight of God you could see for yourselves how loyal you are to us. Paul wrote him a letter and he said, look, okay, I can see right now that you got this right. Okay, you're doing the right thing. So I'm just writing to encourage you. I just want you to know that I'm proud of you, like you wrote, read about before. You know, and be greatly encouraged in what you do. Believe and encourage yourself when you turn from one way to another. And don't go back to that way. Once you walk away from something, God, the Spirit of God himself has came with you, and he's still with you. He ain't gave up on you. But just and we as believers have to encourage each other. Okay. We moving on. In addition to our own encouragement, we are especially delighted to see how happy Titus was about the way all of you welcomed him and set his mind at ease. That's verse 13. Verse 14 reads as follows. I have always told you the truth. And now by my boasting to Titus has always proved true. 15 says, now he cares for you more than ever. When he remembers the way all of you obeyed him and welcomed him with such fear and deep respect. 16, I am very happy now because I have complete confidence in you. Paul went on to pen. He went on to write and let them know that I know you did wrong. I know you did wrong. But I'm just so happy that you've stepped away from that wrong and are not doing right. And we all know that in our lives, there are times when we do wrong. It's as simple as that. There are times when we do wrong. But like John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We talked about cleansing in the beginning of 7. But like John the Baptist used to write when he wrote, repent, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He had the opportunity to see Jesus Christ himself. Paul had the opportunity to have a one-on-one with Jesus Christ himself. We have the opportunity to have the one-on-one with Jesus Christ himself because we have his written word in front of us. And we have the words of those, like I was thinking about Paul yesterday, we have the words of those. See, they didn't have a Bible, like I said back then. But what we have is the writings of individuals that have come into personal contact with God. And in the early Christian church, walked that walk, talked that talk, when people were being persecuted, when people were being killed, when people were being lied upon, when people were being threatened, when everything was going wrong. See, we don't have that going on in our society nowadays. So what we have is the word of those that really walk that walk. The word of those, we're talking about people that really walked in our shoes, but we didn't walk in theirs. Because today we have the luxury of being able to speak out in this country as to however we feel or whatever religion we choose. For those of you that haven't accepted Christ, and I just have to say this, make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, because there is really only one way to go, and that's him. And at the same time, like I was talking about with Paul, what you have to see while you're reading this letter is someone that persecuted Christians, someone that killed Christians, someone that did everything he could to make Jesus not be real. But then he had a one-on-one with Christ, and he came to realize that everything about God is real. And it's not just real, it's right. It's not just real, it's right. Like I said about that sorrow part, don't go out saying that I'm going to get wrong right this time. Turn to the right way. And see, Paul walked this walk. Like I said, Paul, while he was writing this, he was going through all this. And you know yourself, you'll get a book. I don't know whether it's a biography or autobiography, whichever one it is, where somebody will say or write down what they've been through life. And you'll sit there and read it from cover to cover. And you'll sit there and read it like you know that person. And you've never met that person before in your life. So why is it that we won't take this book that is given to us, God's Word, and read it in the same aspect and do what it says? You know, just like in Corinthians time, people were questioning what was going on. We'll sit down sometime and question whether or not this is real. But secular historians have written about Paul, Jesus, the writers of this book. And this book has established over the centuries, not just the years. So what we need to do is to come to realize that this was written from a personal standpoint. What we're reading today and what we've read in 2 Corinthians so far and in this whole world, written from a personal standpoint. This was written by people that really went through this and that really had come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and believed it. People, don't be like the people in Corinthians, whatever you do. Don't let somebody else come in with some other hogwash, and that's all I can think of to call it, and throw it at you, and then say, well, it's this way. Because there's only one way. There's only one way. Acts 4:12 said there's no other way that man can get to heaven except through Jesus Christ. And it doesn't read exactly that way, but that's what it said. So make it your business. And Christian, don't let anybody pull you off your page. Don't let anybody or anything pull you off your page. Because, see, Paul was our brother. Peter, all those Titus, all of them that worked prior to back in the day, they paved the way for us. But the way still has to be walked on, and the way still has to be made. But there is only one way. Concludes my class for the day. I ain't got nothing left, and I hope it. And always, verse 16 says, "I am very happy now because I have complete confidence in you." Make that be what somebody writes about you one day. Somebody that has led, you know, everybody, each one of us has somebody lead us to Christ, and the big thing, make that be what God and what Jesus says about you today. I am very happy because I have great confidence in you. Okay, that's going to wrap me up right now. I'm done with six. I'm done with seven. And I hope something I said made some sense today. Let's pray our way out of here. Lord God, our Father, you thank you. I thank you once again for giving the opportunity not just to, Lord, not just to speak your word, but not just to read your word, but, Father, to take your word to heart. I'm just going to be honest in front of everybody. You're not the only one that's hearing this. Lord, this has really helped me in my Christian walk. And for that, I thank you. But, Father, you said that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, and it really is. It's going to help us make it through this Christian walk. And, Father, just continue to encourage us. Let us continue to encourage each other. And let us build us up in the body like we found out. Because, see, Father, you said you reside in us, and we need to just go ahead and make this happen. We're living in the last days. We live in the last day. Don't know when you're coming back. Do know you're coming. But in the meantime, Father, let it be that we just do what you tell us to do. And listen to those that you sent before us. Listen to those that you've given us right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Deacon Tate. That was a really good class. And I'm sure everything that you spoke about in those two chapters helped us in some kind of way, because it's all connected to our life. We all have some situations that's going on. It's going to connect. And so it was a good class, and we appreciate you, and happy Father's Day.
Yeah, thanks, Kat. And you did a good job yesterday. I'm proud of you.
Lord,
all right, I'll holler.
Okay. Great day. All right, we're going to have a song, and then we're going to start our service. See you on the other side.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen, amen. This is your house, Father. This is your house. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers all around this beautiful world. You are special. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Runner for Christ Ministries Sunday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Sunday morning worship experience, brought to you by Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Sunday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer, and at Running for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And we have this morning to help us do so is our very own brother, Deacon Oliver Welch. Thank you for being with us this morning.
You are welcome, Sister Kathy. How are you today?
Just wonderful, wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing real good and blessed and highly favored. Yes,
great,
I am.
Great, great, great. Happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you very, very much. And I'd like to wish all the fathers around the world Happy Father's Day. And a special Father's Day go to my brothers for Running for Christ, all of you guys. Believe me, I love you all. Definitely, heart and soul. Anyway, today's scripture is from Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 15. And the title is Living the New Life. And it reads as follows. Since you have been raised to a new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of the earth, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the simple earthly things lurking within you, having nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world, but now is the time to get rid of all anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, a slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people, he loves you. You must close yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, close yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for the opportunity to once again offer up to you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are listened to you by your people in this service. Lord, we ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with the word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in songs, prayers, and preach words so that all those who are lost will be found. And dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. Let the church say amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Deacon Oliver. We appreciate you. Have the best day ever.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it very, very much.
Okay, good day. All right, now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Save the church, save. Everybody
say amen.
God
has spoken.
So let the church,
say amen.
Yeah. Can I get a witness?
Let the church say amen.
To what his plans are.
Let the church
to what his word
say,
says.
Amen.
God has spoken.
God has spoken.
From the healing of your body,
amen.
To the raising of the dead,
amen.
No matter how you're feeling,
amen.
Or how your world is reeling,
amen.
Battle on through the night,
amen.
'Cause you're gonna win the fight,
amen.
Even in the valley,
amen.
Or standing at your red sea,
amen.
Continue to say,
amen.
'Cause your help. Let the church say, oh, 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 lift your hands wherever you are and let the church.
Church, say amen. And you know what that means? That means so be it. So when we read in God's word, we agree with what Hebrews 11:1 says, that, amen, now faith is the substance of things that we hope for. Why? Because we read it in God's word, so that produced hope in us. And we don't have it yet, but we're confident that we're going to get it. Why? Because God said it in his word. And once we know God said it in his word, we can be confident that we're going to get it even though we don't yet possess it. Amen. God told Abraham, I'm giving your people a country. I'm giving your people a name. And didn't the Lord do it? It happened 400 years later, but it did it, right? Amen. and that makes him a good father. Happy Father's Day to everybody out there, everybody who's a father, everybody who's being a father, everybody who's helping a father, everybody who's doing fathering stuff. Amen. God bless you on today. Amen, and happy Father's Day. And you know what? We have the perfect image. We should be like our Father. Why? Because he is a good, good Father. Amen? Not just good, but good, good.
Ooh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor, for those songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have been moved and encouraged, which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear is Minister John McFaul. Happy to hear Minister John McFaul offering prayer, petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Minister John McFaul. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
It belongs to me. Salvation belongs to me. And I have everything to make salvation complete. 'Cause I know the work is already done by the power of his blood. I know it's mine. It belongs to me. It belongs to me. Healing belongs to me. And I have everything that makes my healing complete. It doesn't matter how I feel. When his stripes
morning, good morning, good morning, Blog Talk family. This is Minister John Mack coming back at you. I've been away for a while, but I'm back. I'm back. I'm back. Let's clear our minds and our hearts to come before the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come before you, we thank you for Running for Christ Ministries and Pastor Juan Sheila and the whole family of all the great ministers that they have reaching out to the hearts of your people, Father. I come before you just saying happy Father's Day to the ultimate Father. You are my Father. You have covered me when I couldn't cover myself. You have loved me when I couldn't love myself. You have respected me when I couldn't respect myself. And you have been there right beside me when I didn't want to be by myself. So there's a lot of reasons to give you all the praise and honor your name deserve on this day. Father, we ask that your people clear their hearts and minds. There's so much going on in this world, Father, and we're discombobulated in so many ways. So we need to know who's in full control, and that's you, Father. We come before you knowing that you have all the answers that we don't. We come before you just knowing that you have a way that we don't. Father, we come before you just giving you all the praise and honor that your name deserves, Father. Again, we thank you for outlets like Running for Christ Ministries that's committed to advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ, to letting people know that God is truly our God and he wants the best for us despite what we're going through in this world. I can tell you personally, it hasn't been real fun, but I trust him. I trust him more than I trust myself. I trust him than I trust the doctors. I trust him more than anything. Why? Because he is my God, because he is my Father. That's why I trust him. And you can trust him too. So, Father, we come before you asking for forgiveness of sin in our own life. Father, we come before you asking for a vision in our own life for you, Father, and how you desire for us to carry out your word on this earth, Father. We just thank you, Father. We just thank you for just allowing us to be alive to see another day, Father, whether it's hot or cold or rain or sun. We're just glad that the sun shines on the wicked and the unwicked. So we thank you for that, Father, on this day. Father, as we come before you, hear our hearts, Father, in the deep places where we don't want to go, Father. Go there with us. Let us just bring it up forward, Father, knowing that you already know the answer. You already know the situation we're going through. You just want to know if we're going to be honest enough with you to communicate that to you. So, Father, I thank you for this time and this opportunity to be a part of the family of Christ, to be a part of Running for Christ, and to talk to your people on this day, asking them to trust you, Father. I know I have, and I know it hasn't been easy, but I can trust you. And that's my comfort, knowing that I can trust you. So I thank you for this day and this time, Father, as we celebrate all the fathers on this earth, Father. Let us be reminded of the ultimate Father, the one who was our Father before we had a Father. Father, let us be reminded of that in our spirit. In Jesus' name, I ask, amen.
him. Somebody help me, yeah. Overwhelmed, look to the cross, and
there we are
reminded. Somebody say, yeah. In the midst of my struggle,
you are here.
Have I faced that?
Reminder, you are here. Thank you. Thank you, Minister John Mack, for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you, and we are praying for your continued health and strength. Have the best dad day ever. All right. I am truly enjoying this service, and I hope you are too. I want to continue to wish all the fathers a happy Father's Day. And just a special shout out to my brothers, Mark, Jeff, Kenny, and Wim. Hey, they learned from the best. Willie T. Clyburn, my dad. That's a blessing. We just thank God. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Sunday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Sunday worship service is happening. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Amen. Okay, time for the preach word. A message from God. The best part. Icing on the cake. Following the selection, the next voice you will hear to read scripture and to introduce the preacher of the hour is our very own sister Deaconess June Rogers. Let us prepare to receive Deaconess June Rogers as she comes in her own way to introduce our speaker. Amen.
There's a man at my house, he's so big and strong. He goes to work each day, he stays all day long. He comes home each night looking tired and beat. He sits down at the dinner table and has a bite to eat. Never a frown, always a smile, when he says to me, "How's my child?" I said that I've been studying hard all day in school, trying very hard to understand the golden rule. I think I'll color this man father.
Color him father.
I think I'll color him love.
Color him love.
Then I'm gonna color him father.
Color him father.
I think I'll color the man love. Yes, I will.
Color him father.
He says education is the thing if you want to compete, because without it, son, life ain't very sweet. I love this man and I don't know why, except I'll need his strength until the day that I die. My mother loves him, and I can tell by the way she looks at him when he holds my little sister Nell. I heard her say just the other day that if it hadn't have been for him, she couldn't have found her way. I think I'll color him father.
Color him father.
I'm gonna color him love.
Color
and there he stood with that big wide grin. He married my mother and he took us in, and now we belong to the man with that big wide grin. I've got to color this man father. I'm gonna color him love. I've got to color him father. I believe I'll color this man love.
Gosh, that song brings back so many memories of my own father. I don't know about you, but I just think that we don't tend to appreciate fathers fully until they're gone. And it probably has a lot to do with the way they love. A lot of times they come across as harsh. They're protectors. And, you know, sometimes when they're protecting us, to us, it doesn't come out quite right. But again, I'm just so grateful. Thank you to John Mack. It was good to hear your voice this morning, listening to you pray before God. People, we got the best father ever. We have the best role model. So Pastor, not surprisingly, today is going to speak about fathers. The title of his sermon is A Father's Work. He's asked me to read Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9, and Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 4, it reads as follows in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your heart, house, and on your gates. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. This is the word of God. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great word. If you're listening to the sound of my voice right now, you are indeed blessed. You are among the living and have been positioned by God to do many things. You can show gratitude by praising and worshiping him. You are also blessed because you're positioned to saturate yourself in the word of God. Ephesians 5 describes Jesus loving us so much that he gave up his life to make us holy and clean. We are washed by the cleansing of God's word. Imagine the cleansing water of these scriptures like a luxury bath prepared just for you. Your favorite scents and body wash have been poured, and the water is set at the perfect temperature. It's all just for you. So as we celebrate this Father's Day of 2021, just imagine yourself just as God sees you. 1 Peter 2:9 declares you as chosen, as royal priests, a holy nation, and God's very own possession. Among your brotherhood of royal priests is Pastor Overall, who is positioned at this very moment to show forth the goodness of God. For God called him and us out of the darkness into his wonderful light. I believe Pastor O is ready to shine a light on a father's work. So let's welcome him by repeating this boldly. Happy Father's Day, Pastor O. Now break it down for us.
Amen. Thank you, Deaconess June Rogers. I appreciate you, and I thank God for you and for your husband, Ray Field. And tell Ray I said, what's up, and happy Father's Day. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for the setup. Amen. It must be an awesome work, amen, to be used by God to proclaim his word just before the speaker comes on. You know, that's a brand new thing that the Lord introduced me to when Run for Christ started. Amen. And God is always right. he always does. What I'm trying to tell you is he knows me and he knows how afraid I am of preaching and teaching. You know, with me and him talking, it's cool. But when I have to teach and preach to people, I just fall completely apart. But then he sends my wife to pray for me every time before I preach, and then he guides me with the words that he gives June, and they just happen to agree with the words he gave me. And he always teases me about, you know, my counselor. Every time I get twisted up, I have to call her to see which way to go, and she always manages to say what he said, and the Lord always teases me about, well, I'll just wait till June say something, and then you'll see which way to go because you'll believe her, even though you don't believe me. And somehow she managed to say the same thing he says. And my wife prays things that might make her feel funny, but God knows she need to pray those things for me so that we can get this done. So I am thankful to the Lord that he goes through all of this setup just for me, just so I can be comfortable here knowing that I'm doing what he wants me to do. Again, I was so happy to hear Pastor John McFall's voice. Amen. Yeah, he's pastor at our church, but he's also my nephew. Amen. And I thank God for that dual relationship with Deacon Eric Reed. Always reminds me of that I am his pastor and his uncle. And I thank God for that, that God has gifted so many of our family members. When I think about it, my assistant pastor is my cousin. Deacon Charles Tate, who you heard teaching Sunday school this morning, is my cousin. Amen. Pastor Jonathan Tate, my cousin. And no, we're not a – and then my brothers, Richard is preaching here. John Hare preached here. My sister Cheryl, who I didn't know could sings. Amen. God bless. He is blessed. Amen. And I want to thank my Father in heaven for being my Father in heaven. He knows I've never wanted anything from him but to know him. I wanted to know him like my father knew him. I mean, if you got caught at the dinner table with my father. Anyway, Jesus said, you need to pray. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, Lord God, our Father, we thank you today. Father's Day that we call Father's Day. We celebrate fathers today. We remind fathers to be fathers, and we advise those who are thinking about becoming fathers to show them what the road's going to be like and what you expect. Lord, help me to say what you want me to say. Help me to make it plain, your plan for fathers, and help us, Father, to be willing to mold ourselves into that plan rather than the stuff we got going today. In Jesus' name, we thank you, and happy Daddy's Day, Father. Amen. Amen. It's amazing. Romans chapter 8 tells us that we can use that term of endearment, Daddy. Over there it says we can cry Abba, Father. We can call him Daddy. Nobody else can. You know, the angels can't call him Daddy. They have to call him God. Amen. Because angels are just servants for those of us, human beings, who have been saved, right? Amen. So, and being saved means God's fixing us. Amen. But anyway, today I want to talk to you. Well, say, Lord, repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears so they hear your word today. And bless my heart so it receives your word today. Because I acknowledge to you that my ways and thoughts, not like yours, but I'm here today to be transformed by your word so I can always know your good, pleasing, and perfect will for my life. Amen. Amen. That is so important that we get to that place, you know, that we allow the word of God to actually transform us from being conformed to this world and be transformed to the world that God is getting us ready to live in forever. So we need to give up on holding on to this temporal plane and get ready for eternity. Amen, because we're going to live there forever. We're only going to be here for a short time. The Lord describes it as a mist, a vapor, and you know they don't last long. Amen. Amen. So we want to get ready for who we're going to be forever, and not just try to remain who we are temporarily. Amen. So today I want to talk to you about a father's work. A father's work. And I want to talk to you about a father's work from God. Amen. From our Father in heaven. Amen. There's a lot of work going on by fathers, but it's not from God. Amen. God has a perfect plan for fathers. God has a very specific plan for fathers. But I'm afraid what we have going on today is far from God's plan. We're working our own plan. Men are being the kind of fathers they think best, but not according to God's word, not according to God's plan. We have homes today, 70%, 72% of African-American homes are led mostly by single women. That's awesome. The work that they're doing for a man who have disappeared for some reason, that's awesome work. But guess what? A woman cannot be a man. She might be able, some of them, to grow some hair on their face. They don't like it, but sometimes it show up. It's a hormonal thing, I don't know. But that still does not make you a man. I was once asked the question, can a woman raise a man without a man being present in his life? Amen. It's sad to see that I lived long enough to see the answer to the question that the person who asked me that, I see the answer to that question. And the children that they raised, especially the son. Amen. I see it a lot of times. We have our own plans. We have our own way. God has his plan for life and for family. And the man plays a very important role in that plan. But we have our own plans. There are some folks who plan on not having the kind of home that God created, but having the home they created. They live together, they have kids, but they're not married. Okay, it might be working, but it's not God's plan. It's not according to God's word. I've even met some women who say they want to have children, but don't want to get married and don't want to be with a man. I'm not saying they're gay or want to be with a woman. They just want the joy of raising children, but they don't want a man. Well, that, hey, it can work. That's cool. You can do that, but that's not God's plan. God has a very specific plan, a very specific role for the man to play. Number one, if you go back to the book of Genesis, the man has to be under God. If the man is operating, if this father is going to be a father according to the way God wants fathers to be fathers, then this father has to be under God. That is number one. You cannot be the kind of, you can be any kind of father. The world got all kinds of fathers, and you can please the world, but if you want to please the Lord God of heaven and earth, if you want to please your Savior, Jesus Christ, if you do not want to grieve the Holy Spirit who lives in you, then you're going to have to work God's plan for a father. There's a whole lot of fathers who got plans, and there's a whole lot of women who married to these fathers who got plans, but their plans are not God's plan. And we saw what happened in the garden when you mix up God's plan, when the woman becomes the man, and when the man becomes a passive responder, keeping his mouth shut, just trying to keep peace in the house. We don't know what Adam's idea was over there in Genesis chapter 3, why he didn't say nothing, why he didn't take his role as the man under God, as the man who's in authority over his wife. Satan came to mix that up, and that's what Satan is doing today. He's mixing it up. We've come up with our own ideas for what we call family. You could be two men who get married and go adopt a kid, that's a family. Well, on earth and to the world, that is a family, but not to God. Two women they go and adopt. Just the other day, all folks is in an uproar. Why? Because the Catholic Church, it was upheld by the Supreme Court that they don't have to allow same-sex folks to adopt kids. And everybody's mad about that. But they're actually standing on what God's plan is, a man, a woman, kids. And when you mix that plan up, what you get is what we have today. 72% of black homes run by women. Awesome women who sticking and staying and doing whatever they have to do to get it done. Because some male who she perceived was a man turned out to be just a boy and couldn't step up and be a father. Oh, yeah, we got a real mess going on today, and the reason we have a mess going on today is because we're no longer doing it God's way. I love the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy is Moses reiterating to the second generation, because the first generation didn't do so hot. They didn't make it out the wilderness. They all died. This is the second generation. These are the kids of those who had failing fathers. Those fathers who didn't model in front of them how to follow the word of God, just like Adam didn't model in front of Eve how to follow God and not Satan. And so those fathers failed, and Moses wants these children to have a better chance at obeying God than their parents did. And so he says to them, listen, Israel, children of those who died out here in this wilderness, listen to me. The Lord our God is the Lord alone. Your husband cannot be Lord. Amen. Your husband cannot be your Lord. He cannot overrule God. He cannot allow, have things going on in the house that God does not condone. You don't have to deal with that. God is God alone, not anybody else, not anything else, not a person, place, thing, thought. Amen. Can rise above God. And notice the phrase here in verse 4, the Lord our God. See, that's the God you hear about in Genesis chapter 2, the one who gets to tell us what to do, the one we're in authority, he's in authority over us, we're in authority under him. And when God put Adam in that garden by himself, there was no Eve. There was just Adam in that garden by himself. See, God had to get him ready. Why? Because from him would flow the will of God to man. In other words, Eve, when she came alongside Adam, she found Adam already under God. So Adam can do what fathers do are to do today. Adam taught Eve everything. Adam taught her the names of the animals. Adam taught her how to worship God. Adam taught her the word of God. The word of God was, don't eat from that tree. Just one verse. They kind of messed that thing up. But one verse, he taught it to her. And you can see it in Eve when the devil showed up. Everything that Adam taught her, she recounted to the devil. So Adam did a good job. Amen? So God, right from the beginning, intends for the man to play a very specific role to communicate his will from God to his wife and then later to his children. And Adam and Eve did a good job with that. But we read about one of their kids, Cain. He didn't listen so well. We cannot blame Adam for Cain's failure because we know that Adam taught Cain. You say, Pastor, oh, how we know? We ain't read about no Bible class Adam had with Cain. Well, watch this. The Lord came himself when Cain was thinking, thinking. The Lord showed up himself, and he said, if thou doest well, will you not also be accepted like your brother Abel, who you jealous and envious of and plotting to kill? God said to him, if you do like your brother, like you were taught by your father. See, fathers like to toss the teaching onto the men, but the Bible onto the women, but the Bible don't do that. how could Adam thrust what God gave him on anybody? There was nobody to thrust it on. So God expected when Eve showed up, because when Eve showed up, her hand was in God's hand, and God brought her to Adam, and God married him. And Eve didn't know what a giraffe was. She just said, that thing. Adam said, that's a giraffe. And then she looked at that thing over there, and it was a hippopotamus. You get the picture here. God put it in Adam, and now Adam's sharing it with Eve, and I'm sure Eve came alongside Adam to help him teach those kids, but it started with Adam. So, men, we can't put it on the women. We can't just pass it off to them. I'm going to work. You teach these kids. Well, you need to teach. You're the head of the house. You want to see something funny? When that thing got messed up in the garden, Eve ate, but then nothing happened. And then she gave to her husband, and he ate, and then everything started happening. Then death happened. Amen. And when God showed up, he didn't go to Eve. We like to blame Eve, right, and say that she is the one who fell into sin, and the scripture agrees with this. But God came to Adam. Why? Because he talked with Adam, who was supposed to teach Eve, who taught Eve. But y'all know how that thing went. And ever since we've been out of the garden, it's been a struggle to get fathers to lead their children the way God wants them led. So we need to recognize, number one, that the man has a specific role that God wants him to play in the leading and guiding of that family. And that's both spiritually and materially. And God has a specific plan for the man, for the woman, for the children. He's trying to save souls. So the devil comes along like he did in the garden and mixed the thing up. Rather than approaching the man, who's the head, he approaches the woman. And right away, Corinthians 10 comes into play. For the angel's sake, when you read that over there, 1 Corinthians 10, it talks about for the angel's sake, it's talking about God's proper alignment. And when the angels see Eve at the head and Adam the passive responder, well, they back off because they know that's not God's order. It is what it is. God set this thing up for his purposes, for his plan. I think Romans chapter 8 tells us that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. God has a purpose for the father. And it's not to pass the headship down to any his wife or his children. But their children, if raised right, will become heads. Amen. He will pass down to them material blessings and spiritual blessings. The same God that my father followed, the same God that my mother worshiped, is the same God that I worship. And I will tell you in a heartbeat that I thank them for my spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ than any material thing they ever gave me. I'm thankful for the house they had for me to live in, for the clothes they gave me to wear, for the tub they got that kept me smelling well. And amen. And every single, especially that refrigerator. I love that refrigerator. Was in it a lot. Amen. I thank him for all of that. But what I thank God most for that my parents gave me was Jesus Christ. My father led me to Jesus. My mother led me to Jesus. One day in tandem, it all just happened. He says, listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the Lord alone. Not these worldly folks talking about this or that book over there that says that. And if those books and if those people are not giving you God's word, God's plan for the Father, then they're worthless. That's just some worldly stuff they've made up, which God cannot accept. He has his own plan. And here it is. He says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. That's all of you. Mind, body, soul. Love God with all of you. Give him all of you. That means you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands I'm giving you today. See, a whole lot of fathers, look, are not committed to God's commands because they don't even know them. They don't read the Bible. Men don't even go to church no more. Their wives go, their children go, but they don't. God's word is not active. God's word is not alive in them. A man, a father, is supposed to take his children to the word of God or where the word of God is and teach it to them. And then when they go home from the church, he becomes the pastor of his own house, and he takes over the teaching duties. Over there in Ephesians that you heard Deaconess June Rogers read, it said, fathers. And right here, it is talking about fathers. Of course, the husband and the wife take on the duties, but the father is the head. God has a specific role for him to play. God's going to talk to him, and amen, he going to talk to them. Now, we saw in the Bible where there were some awesome men of God, but they were horrible fathers. Moses, his kids were so bad in church, they died in church. Okay? And then you look at Samuel. Well, look at Eli first. Eli's kids was taking money out of the offering plate before it even got to the Lord. And then look at Samuel. You're talking about Samuel was a great judge. He was a great priest. He was a great prophet. All three. But look at his kids. His kids were so bad that the people came to God and came to Samuel and said, we want a king. Your little boys cannot rule over us. They're crazy. We want a king. His bad kids led to them requesting a king. And what did they get? Saul. What kind of father was he? He wanted to kill his own son because he made up a stupid rule that if anybody eat anything today, they're going to die. And Jonathan, who had went out and defended Israel against some Philistines, took him out, came home, had some honey, and he wanted to kill him. But the people wouldn't let him. And then look at King David. Oh, right. A man after God's own heart murdered Uriah to have his wife. And his kids tried to murder him to have the kingdom. Absalom and Adonijah tried to take the kingdom. And Ammon raped his sister Tamar. Completely dysfunctional. Great men of God, but horrible fathers. Amen. So the Lord has a specific role for the man to play. And the children tend to act just like their parents. And in this case, their father. So if you have a father who hasn't given himself wholeheartedly to the commands of God, meaning the word of God does not mean that much to him. If you have a father whose love for God is not with all of his heart, his soul, and his strength, that's going to be a problem. Why? I guarantee you, if you don't go to church, I guarantee you when them kids who you forcing to go to church, they ain't going either. I guarantee you, if you didn't model in front of them the importance of worshiping God, then they won't worship. See, Adam and Eve taught all their kids. They had a bunch of kids before they had Cain and Abel. Then they had Cain and Abel, right? Abel worshiped God. He learned from Adam and Eve how to make it right with the Lord. And he did it with all his soul and all his heart and all his strength. And he committed himself wholeheartedly to doing what God said. And the Lord accepted him. But Cain, not so much. Raised by the same parents. So parents, if you did what you were supposed to do, and they're not living like they're supposed to be living, fathers, don't blame yourself for that. But if you did not model loving God with all your heart, soul, and strength, if you did not commit yourself in front of them wholeheartedly to the Lord, I'm telling you, you sit at the table with my father, and food will freeze before he get through praying. If you asked him for a nickel to take a week, he'd have to explain things to you. Amen. So it's important that we know that the Lord our God is the Lord alone. There is no such thing as Allah could be right, Buddha could be right, Confucianism could be a way of living, or one of the gods of the Hindus. No, the Lord our God is God alone. The Lord our God said on a number of occasions over in Isaiah 43, 44, I think 45, that he is God all by himself. You know, the worst thing a father can be is one who don't listen to God but running his family, leading his wife and children to do things that are wrong, to worship in the way that God has not prescribed for us to worship him, to live in a way, a life that is apart from God and not according to God's word. A father should pour himself into the word of God, just like he pours himself into wanting to make a good and better life for his children. We seem to think that all that matters, some Christian fathers believe all that matters is I'm paying bills, I got a house over you, a roof over you. That is not all that matters. Because none of that matters when you get ready to go to heaven. None of that will stand the test. None of that. All of that is wood, hay, and stubble. All of that is burned up and won't profit you a thing. But what matters to God is this. He says, get to know my word so well that you can repeat them again and again to your children. Do you know the word of God so well that you can repeat them again and again to your children, Father? Do you know it that well? Do you talk about them when you at home? Do your children hear you talking about that word over and over and over? Do they hear the word of God? Is there a Bible class that takes place in your home? Or have you farmed that out to the church and every wrong thing that's in your kids you blame on the church? Look, the church have your kids at most for about 2.5 hours if they come to Sunday school. 2.5 hours. I believe it's 168 hours in a week. I think the Lord wants you to do the major. See, look, I might be your pastor, but I don't live in your house. Yeah, I'm your pastor, but I don't live in your house. So I can't talk about the word of God when I'm at your house every day, because I ain't at your house every day, but you are. When you're on the road, when you're in the car, and you're going somewhere, are you letting your kids just sit there and play video games from here to North Carolina? Or are you talking about the word of God? When the kids get ready to go to bed, is the last thing you talk to them about is the word of God? And when you're getting up in the morning, is the first thing that you want to do, say to your children, something from the word of God? The Lord says, repeat them again and again. Be repetitious about it. He says, talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. In other words, 24/7, 365, your mind should be on the word of God. And you should be pouring it. It is not asking the father to do this for their children. It's telling the father, this is what God expects you to do for your children. So if you want to know, Father, if you're pleasing the Lord, are you repeating the word to your children again and again? Are you talking about them when you're at home? You know, one of the saddest things that I ever heard from a kid, I've been teaching children since 1977. I think her name was Sister Golston from Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church. Pastor Barlow taught me how to study the word of God and teach the word of God. Okay? But she specifically taught me how to teach young children. Amen? Are you repeating them, words to them, again and again? Does God ever see you doing that? Does he see you talking about it? Is the word of God in your home? On the road? Going to bed? And when you're getting up? Is it a priority in your house to teach your children the word of God, how to follow God? We will teach, if they go to school and they don't get their lessons right, we have a fit. We'll go fight with the teacher. We'll fight with the kids. And we'll fight with whoever we have to. But will we fight with us? Will we bring some blame to us? Will we take some responsibility for what's going on with them? Have we modeled fathers following God, living for God in front of our children? That's our responsibility. If you want Jesus to be happy with you, look, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ for the deeds that we've done in this body, whether good or bad. And we're going to receive rewards. That's what we're going there for. We already decided to follow Jesus, so we're going to heaven. But after we follow Jesus, how have we been walking? Fathers, he says, tie them on your hands and wear them on your foreheads as reminders. He says, write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. What God wants you to do is to show your children, to show your family how important knowing and following and doing the word of God, how important that is to following God's plan. A father got some work to do. A father has some work to do. A father has to teach them children to follow Jesus. A father has to set up a teaching program in the house. The father has to find ways to make up conversations that lead to Jesus while you're riding down the road. A father needs to be present in the children's life when they're going to bed so he can remind them of God's word. And a father needs to meet those children in the morning so they can start walking with Jesus from the time they get up and through the rest of their day. The father needs to teach them how to pray in silence so when they go to school, they can still pray. They don't need the kind of father who will say they need to put prayer back in school. No, you teach your kids how to pray in silence. Jesus can hear in silence. Jesus tells us that when we pray, pray in silence so that other folks don't hear, so that your father who hears you praying in silent in secret will reward you openly. So teach your children how to pray in silence and put prayer back in school and stop letting the devil trick you into believing they voted it out. Write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates. Make sure that your whole family knows that the word of God is important. And as we come to a close, Ephesians chapter 6, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Treat them the way God treats you. And if your perspective, if your view of God's treatment of you is like that, then you might not be serving a true and living God. Because our Father is a good, good Father. Amen? So don't make your children so angry. Don't teach the word of God in such a way that you make your children so angry they can't wait to get grown so they don't never go to church again. I know too many Christians who got fathers who preachers, and their children are just off the hook. They can't stand church, don't want nothing to do with church. Everything come out of their mouth is what come out of their head, not out of the word of God. And they got families, but they were raised by preachers and somehow can't stand church, won't go near the church. How does a father, how does a pastor a church and got a toe-up family? So fathers, don't provoke your children to so much anger that they don't even want to go to church. One of the saddest things a child ever told me, I'm going to tell you about it. I didn't want to say it. Jesus wanted me to say it, so I'm going to say it. A child came up to me and said to me, because I had said something about their parent and how awesome I thought they were. And the child came up to me and said, I need you to know, Pastor, Reverend Overall, at this time I wasn't no pastor. I need you to know that it's not like that in my house. It's not like that. What would your children, if one of your children had a one-on-one with me, would they tell me what I see in church is the same thing that go on in the house? He says, rather bring them up in the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. The discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. From God's word, not from some man's head, but from God's word. You know, a father got a lot of work to do. He's got a God that he has to go and face when he leaves here. And God's going to judge each and one, every one of us fathers. Now, look, God's going to judge every one of us fathers by his word, not some stuff made up in your head, and not like Abraham trying to offer up Ishmael to God, and God wouldn't take that. He ain't going to take that stuff in your head, no matter how well-intentioned it might have been in your mind. God has his own word. God has his own outline of a father and what a father is supposed to be. You cannot take these cues from the world. We get our cues from the Bible. God's word is the standard for fathering and fatherhood. Now, some of us, as I come to a close, may have failed miserably. I myself was a deadbeat dad on purpose. I went to jail, a dumb deadbeat dad on purpose. I went to jail for it. I was so stupid. I went to jail in 1978 because I refused to pay child support. Whatever kind of stupid reasons came up in my head, I refused to pay child support. So the friends of the court, they wasn't so friendly one day. I went down there to show cause why I should not be punished for failing to comply with the order of the court. So I fixed up a whole pack of lies in my head. Oh, yeah, did I tell you I was a preacher? Anyway, this is in 1978. I'm a three-year-old preacher, and I'm a deadbeat, dumb, deadbeat dad, right, on purpose. I could pay, but I didn't pay. And do you know what the judge said to me while he was sending me to jail? I just told you I could have paid, but I didn't pay. The judge said, the reason I'm sending you to jail for 6 months is because you could have paid when you worked at this place this amount of money, but you didn't. Now, why should I not punish you for failing to comply with the order of the court? Well, you know what I said? Nothing. There was no answer for that question because I don't want you to. And him and the prosecutor got to batting how much time I was going to spend and came out 6 months. Let me tell you something. Jesus changed my mind. It was like a miracle. My mind changed. Now, look, you might have been like that yourself. You might be like that now. But let me tell you something. I was listening to Dr. Tony Evans, and he reminded me of something. There was a man in Acts chapter 3 who was lame from birth or whatever. He couldn't walk. And for 40-some years, he remained lame. Couldn't walk. Couldn't work. Couldn't help himself. He was lame. Amen. You might be feeling lame right about now because you might say to yourself, I haven't been doing the God way of dadding or fathering. I've been doing my own way. Or I haven't been doing it at all. I'm lame. You're crippled. Amen. Now, one day, Peter and John was going up to the temple, and they went to a place called Solomon's Porch, and they was going to enter there. And this is where that man was laying. See, they were still going to the temple at this time. And the man was laid there by his friends. He had some good friends who tried to help him out as best they could, but they couldn't fix his problem. He was still lame. So Peter and them on their way to the temple to go worship the Lord, amen, and they come across this man. And the man looks at them. Peter looks at the man. The man looks at Peter, hoping that Peter finna throw him a little change or a little something, right? Throw me some of them ends. And so Peter looks at the man and say, look on us. And so the man, supposing I'm finna get paid, look up at Peter. And then the man hear the worst news he could hear. He said, silver and gold have I none. Silver and gold. This man is lame. This man can't work. He gets his money from begging. And here comes Peter and John into the temple and say, look at us. And so he look at them, and Peter say, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I unto you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Rise up and walk. You know what? He wanted something that would actually leave him in that situation. Peter had given them some silver or some gold, he would have still been lame, even though he had some silver and gold. It's a lot of fathers who got silver and gold, but they're still lame because they're not asking for the right thing. They're asking for what they think they need. And yes, you need money to buy a house. Yes, you need money for a car. Yes, you need money for clothes. But Jesus said, don't worry about those things. Seek my kingdom and my righteousness, and I'll add them things. But what you do need, you ain't got. What that man needed was to be able to walk so that he could earn a living for himself and become self-reliant. But what he wanted, silver and gold. And so many fathers have given up being fathers for silver and gold. And that keeps them lame. And what I mean by that is they're not fathering their children. And if they're fathering, they're not fathering their children right. So what did Peter say? Silver and gold. Got none of that. But what I do have, give I unto you in the name of Jesus Christ. Get up and walk. There be dads on purpose or by accident or whatever your reason is. In the name of Jesus, turn around. The Lord has blessed us with feet that we can actually turn around. The Lord has blessed us with a wheelchair that we can actually turn around. The Lord has blessed us to be able to turn around. Turn around from your way of fathering or being a father. And turn around to God's way. Find out what kind of father God wants you to be and what God wants you to do as a father. And do that. That is his kingdom. That is his righteousness. All that other stuff, the house, the cars, the clothes, the bill money, he'll give that to you. But don't give them everything but Jesus. Don't give them everything but God's word. And far too many of us today, far too many fathers are doing an excellent job at providing material things, a horrible job at spiritual things. Don't be like Moses in the way he raised his kids who died up in that tent. Don't be like the rest of the folks I named who were awesome and in the Bible, and we revere them as great men, but they were horrible fathers. You want to do it the right way. You want to have the right relationship with God, and you want to have the material wealth as well. You should leave your children something behind. But the most important thing, like I said to you as I come all the way to a close, the most important thing you can leave those children is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Teach them how to live for Jesus. Teach them how to pray to Jesus. Teach them how to put Jesus into their everyday life. Teach them how to bring Jesus into their personal life, their family life, their church life, and their civic life. Amen. Fathers, we got some work to do, but don't worry about it. Look in the Word of God, and he'll show you just how to do it, or do it like him. Amen. Crystal, it's all yours.
Oh, Jesus, Lord, have mercy. that was... amazing. I like how we were calm, Pastor O, today, but you stressed the importance of a man under God's authority. You are not, so many people out here say that they are men, but you are not a man unless you are under God's authority. And it's okay if you haven't done everything right. You know, when babies are born and, you know, things like that, nobody gets a book home that says, here, this is how you deal with your children. But the Word of God tells you exactly what to do with your children. And it's okay if you haven't done the right things. Like you say, turn away from the way that you have been doing it. 1 John 1:9, all of that. Because there is, if you are in Christ, you can never go too far away from God's grace, from God's love, and God's forgiveness. So wherever you are, just turn away from the ways that you have been doing that have not been the right thing, and the Lord will guide you in the right way. So, fathers, you know, there is a reason why you are directly under God. You have a responsibility to run your entire family, your entire household, and the Word of God says so. So, Pastor, that was an awesome, awesome, awesome word. Happy Father's Day, And the men, I don't think they got fussed at too bad today. They have just been corrected and challenged to be better fathers. So that was an awesome word. Thank you. Go ahead. Bring it down a little bit. Go get you some water. Chill out a little bit. Good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday to all of the Blog Talk Radio listeners, new and old, who tuned in this morning to our Sunday morning worship service. Of course, it is Father's Day. We always want to acknowledge and thank all of our pastors that run for Christ Ministries, Pastor O, Pastor Janice, Pastor Jonathan, Pastor Terrence, Pastor Janine, and Pastor John McFall. It was so, so good to hear his voice today. And so we know that God answers prayers, and we were able to hear him this morning through a wonderful altar call. And so we're so grateful for all of our leaders and pastors that run for Christ Ministries. Amen. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 15 says, "But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news." And so we thank you, Pastor O, for being that messenger of good news today, teaching and preaching the word of God to us, but not just us at Run for Christ Ministries, but because of Blog Talk Radio, people all over the world who need to hear the word of God are able to do so. So we thank you. Amen. Bible reading class is held on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. I will be teaching 2 Chronicles chapters 7 through 12. The questions have been emailed. They are available for you online to access. Just go to our church website, rfcm.org, under Bible classes, and you will find them there. Also, every Tuesday at 4 p.m., Reverend Richard Overall is here on Blog Talk Radio in his series Training Day. So please set yourself a reminder each week to tune in at 4 p.m. every Tuesday. Also, the fourth Wednesday of every month, so this month it is, the fourth Wednesday is June the 23rd, and that's in, yes, 3 days from now, okay, from 10:30 a.m. right around, that's the setup time, to about 1:30 in the afternoon. From now to November 1st, Fruit Living Ministries, Minister Shelley, along with Pastor Owen, anyone else who wants to join in, is out in front of the bus stop at Run for Christ Ministries, praying with people, rededicating and restoring people back to and back in Christ, as well as giving out Bibles and lunches. So if you're able to make it out this Wednesday, June 23rd, starting around 10:30 a.m. for setup, please do. Amen? Amen. So, as we know, our very own Deaconess Kathy Clyburn launched her own Blog Talk Radio show entitled Back to the Family, Focus on the Youth. We know that Back to the Family will discuss the deteriorating condition of the family today and explore biblical solutions to bring the family back to God's intended purpose for family in the beginning. Amen. So we know that the first show was on yesterday at 4 o'clock, and it was an introduction to the Back to the Family. But the second show will continue on today, Sunday, June the 20th, 4 p.m. The topic of discussion today is celebrating fathers and their importance. So if you're not doing anything and you're with your dad and your granddad or your uncle or whoever it is that represents the male role model in your life, tune in at 4 o'clock. It'll be a wonderful way to come together, to share time together, and to hear the discussion about celebrating fathers and their importance. So again, tune in today at 4 p.m., and we're excited, and we congratulate Kathy on this huge accomplishment. It's our Run for Christ Ministries family. Of course, let's be supportive of her and make sure to tune in. And the link to the show is listed on our church website, rfcm.org, under Christian Resources. And I know that Pastor O had also sent the email, and so that has, like, the link and the phone number to the show as well. Amen? Amen. So this is a reminder, all of our classes and services here, Blog Talk Radio, are recorded, archived, and free. You have access to them 24/7, 365. Just go to rfcm.org under the Blog Talk Radio tab, and you have access to all of the classes and services that we've had. You can download them, and please make sure to share them. Amen. If you want to bless us at Run for Christ Ministries with a free will love offering, or if you're a member, you want to pay tithes or give any additional offerings towards any of our outreach ministries that we support, visit, of course, rfcm.org. You'll find all the info you need there. For your information, we have made our second installment to all the ministries that we support. So again, thank you, and God bless you for your continuous support to Run for Christ Ministries. Amen. Also, in addition to this, if you would like to give a love offering for Pastor O, who brought the word today, please go to his website, PastorGMO.com. That's PastorGodsMyOwner.com, and you can leave your love offering there for him. Amen? Amen. So we know that prayer is simply talking to God, and it's essential to bringing heaven down to earth. John 15:5 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So do not be and do not be discouraged. Amen. So we've been commanded to seek the Lord in all that we do, and he promised to be with us at all times. Therefore, it is our responsibility to unite as one in the body of Christ, serving in the purpose that God has created for us. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so we ask that you pray for those who are sick and shut in, as well as one another. And of course, don't forget to pray for yourself. Pray for our children, our nation, our world, our leaders, those who are missing and exploited, those who are trafficked and abused, all of our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world who are persecuted for their belief and their service to the Lord. Also, special prayers go out to all of our mothers that Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Cheryl, Mother Louisa, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia, as well as Reverend Richard Overall, Tyrone Hamilton, and yes, let's keep John Mack in our prayers. We heard him today, but we also know that we need to keep him lifted up. So please add anybody that you need to add to this list. I listed Amir on there yesterday. He had surgery the other day. So for those who didn't know, thank you for those who did know for keeping him in prayer as he recuperates. Amen. Amen. So pray for all those who are lost spiritually and lost, you know, they're just confused, you know, they don't know which way to go. Remembering Acts 1:8, which says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, which is your household today, Judea, which is your community today, Samaria, which is outside of your community in today's time, to places where maybe you wouldn't normally go, and to the ends of the earth. And these are communities and places and people that you never thought you'd be around, don't want to be around. As far as you're concerned, they don't exist. But they need the word of God, too, and it's our job to spread the good gospel to of our Savior, Jesus Christ, so that no souls are left behind. So we have to be witnesses to spread the gospel of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Matthew 5:4 says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says, but let us not mourn as those who have no hope. Revelation 21:4 says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. All these things are gone away forever. So when you're sad or heartbroken over the loss of a friend or a loved one, or even, you know, with the loss that we see, hear, read about all over the world that we're inundated with at all times, when we look at the news and, you know, turn on social media or read the newspaper, whatever, use these scriptures as well as many others to give you the strength and encouragement that only the word of God can give. Amen. So with that, we ask that you please continue to keep those who are bereaved and hurting in your thoughts and in your prayers. We pray God's comfort, healing, love, and peace upon you at all times. Amen. So one of the ways that God meets our needs for companionship is through the church. When we trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we become one not only with him, but with every other believer. The church is called the body of Christ, and one of its purposes is to meet our need for person-to-person connection. A spiritual body works much like a human one. Parts are both independent and interdependent, each needing others in order to function well. To be spiritually and emotionally healthy, we all need support from our brothers and sisters in Christ. And in his letter to the Ephesian church, Paul emphasizes Christ-like character qualities that make this possible: humility, gentleness, patience, tolerance, and love. He also admonishes or urges believers to accept one another Romans 15, verse 7, and to bear each other's burdens. And that's Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. So you see, we're all part of the body of Christ, and we need each other. We need one another in order to become our true selves and to bring glory through the church. Amen. So by this, all people will know that you are my disciples, Jesus said, if you have love for one another. That's John chapter 13, verse 35. Family that spans the entire earth. The body of Christ spans the entire earth. Amen. Amen. So Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We know that blessings are not always in the form of money or things. A smile or a kind word goes a long way, and the gift of love is free. So take time out to be a bright ray of sunshine today to someone, because as Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, you may have entertained angels without even knowing it. Amen. And to our Running for Christ Ministries family, we know we're not together physically, but that will be coming to an end very soon. But we are together in spirit, and as the Lord says in Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20, I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them. And we know that more than two or three filled with the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ have come together this morning to praise and worship the Lord. And so we thank God in advance for our answered prayers. Amen. Amen. So your devotional for today, How to Be a Better Father by Terrence Chapman. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Since I recognize my own shortcomings as a father about 15 to 20 years ago, I've been doing a lot of research and study of the fatherhood crisis in America. One thing I've discovered is that more than anything else, and no matter the kind of father you are, there's never a time in a child's life when he or she doesn't crave a father's love. You may not be able to spend much time with your child because of a broken marriage or business travel, or whatever it may be, but I think the number one way to be a better father is to make sure that in every single interaction you have with your child, you are assuring him or her of your love. Maybe it's just an email or text once a day if you're not able to see them in person, but they need to lay their head on the pillow every night, assured and confident in their father's love. After assurances of their father's love, the next thing children need to hear is their father's belief in them. No matter what their friends or their teachers or even their mom says to them about what a capable and special person they are, it never carries the weight that it does coming from dad. If you express your belief in your child regularly and specifically, it serves as a great deterrent to the doubts that can creep in and rob them of their self-confidence and positive outlook about themselves. This is vitally important in the older elementary and middle school years, where we are seeing so many tragic instances of bullying and social media shaming. No matter what the world says about them, if a child knows inside, my father believes in me and sees value in me, no matter what anyone else says, they are more able to filter out and put less stock in those external negative opinions. Finally, while we need to reassure our children of our love for and belief in them, we also need to be clear that while we love them, sometimes we cannot condone their behavior. Our children need to know their boundaries and that because their father loves and wants to protect them, there will be consequences for going beyond those boundaries. Children can understand, even if they can't verbalize it, that you can love and accept them without loving and accepting all of their behaviors. They can even recognize it is love that wants to protect them from the harm that comes from disobedience. If they are not giving boundaries and discipline, they realize there is something lacking in the love they receive. True love loves unconditionally, but comes with accountability. Children need to know they are loved and loved enough to want what's best for them, which means the occasional course correction. Fathers who are absent may be afraid to punish, believing it will drive their children from them. But that could not be further from the truth as long as the children know the discipline comes out of love. So I have a poem for you by Katherine Herbert entitled, My Father is a Christian. My father is a Christian. He leads our household well. With instructions from the Bible, right behavior he'll compel. Yet he steers us with compassion. His gentle love is true. He conforms to our Lord Jesus, so we know just what to do. He teaches us with purpose, guides us in all godly ways, so we will take the right path and serve our Lord with praise. I'm glad you're a Christian, Dad. You help me see things clearly. I'll always look up to you and love you very dearly. Amen. And Running for Christ Ministries and Pastor O would like to wish all fathers everywhere a very happy Father's Day today. Be blessed. And as Pastor O would say, eat a lot and then get up and walk it off. Amen. Amen. Those are your announcements.
Thank you, Crystal. I sure enough appreciate
you're
you.
You're welcome.
Amen.
Happy Father's Day, Pastor. Oh, you have been wonderful. Amen.
Yeah, I finally learned it.
That's all right. That's all right. God gave you the grace. You can't go too far from it, so he gave you the grace to get it together. So you've been a great dad. So I hope you have a wonderful day.
I was texting with my daughter all yesterday evening and then texting with her this morning. And, you know, I got a flip phone, so you know I had to love her a whole lot.
Jesus. to be texting and talking, Lord.
And she talked like I do, a whole lot.
Oh, goodness. Y'all should have just picked the phone up.
I know. But
Lord,
then that'll take an hour, so. Text and help us.
Shut it down.
Okay.
I understand.
Okay,
amen.
Crystal, love you. Tell me or
love
I say what's
too.
Up.
I sure will.
Amen. Question was asked, can a single parent and a woman raise a man? And the answer is yes. Okay, it can be done. It's not God's way. Okay, and let's face it, we out of the garden, y'all. And this stuff is all Torah. But if we do what the Lord said in 1 John 1:9, if we confess that we out of pocket, ain't that the way we like to say it today? If we confess that we are not where God wants us to be, guess what he'll do? He will forgive us and then work to cleanse the mess that we've made. Okay? That means he'll work with us. You know, the greatest example of a single parent in the Bible for me is Mary. We know when Jesus shows up at age 30, there's no Joseph. There's no mention of Joseph at all. And we know that Jesus had four brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. Two of them went on to write books of the Bible, so Mary did a pretty good job, right? And then we know he also had sisters. And so that means Jesus, amen, had to help father his little brothers and his sisters. What am I saying? What I'm saying is look at where you are now. And if you're out of pocket, if you're out of alignment with God's word, don't worry about it. That man that I told you about was lame. Well, he was lame for 40-something years. But that, if you read that conversation between him and Peter, that wasn't but a minute. Amen? 1 minute turned his whole life around. So you're hearing the word about what God expects about fathers. And you might not be that father that I've portrayed that God wants us to be. Well, turn around. Problem solved. And you can, from this moment forward, you can walk into being the father God has called you to be. So our family situations are the way they are. But all God wants is for that child to come up, to know who he is, pass down the material blessing, but also pass down that spiritual blessing. So when those children come up, when that child, that little boy comes up, he will know how to be a father. And that's all God wants. Subdue the earth. Bring it under his control. Amen. And that's how he's going to do it. So fathers, amen. you got a role to play. You got a job to do. You got a God to glorify. And the way that you, God's trusting you to teach them children to know and to live for him. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. I want to thank Deacon Charles Tate for the Sunday school. I want to thank Deacon Oliver Welch for the scripture and prayer. I want to thank Pastor John Mack for the altar call, and, of course, Crystal with the announcements. Amen. And, of course, Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, amen, for putting all of this together, finding all these people, getting all these participants so that we can have this worship experience, and for her presiding regularly. Amen. Cannot thank God enough for that. Oh, yeah, and I can't leave out my reader, Deaconess June Rogers. Amen. Amen. So God bless and keep everybody. Amen. Go love up on your father. Now, look, if your father wasn't in your life, amen, bring him in. Remember, if you've got a father who was a dumb deadbeat dad on purpose, and he somehow, God has blessed him to get some sense in his head, and he wants to come in and be in relationship with you, don't block them out. God still has a blessing in them for you. Don't block your blessing. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful Father's Day.